Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
This moment, you're joining with a community of poets, of artists, lovers of the written word and the spoken word. Welcome home. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the Ides of March edition. I am your host, Michael Amadei. I'm here with your co-host, the man who keeps everything moving, and given the date, the person I am slightly suspicious of. Here is JT.
Evening.
Good evening. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good.
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 Good. As long as I can keep my back in against the wall or into the corner for most of the day.
Okay.
I felt fine until I came in here. Huh? And then I saw the date. And then I saw that look, a little crazy twinkle in your eye. and I knew I better watch it. But on the 16th of March, I'm safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
In theory. Of course, we have a great show lined up tonight. We're going to be revealing our poet of the month. We're going to be sharing work from poets that call in around the world or have maybe sent some things in. It'll be a good evening. We have people kind of joining us now on the broadcast. I do want to say something. JT and I talked about this really briefly. I just want to just kind of set this up. Since we are a worldwide broadcast, since we do have audience who listens from all around the world, we do want to reach out and say that our hearts are with everybody in New Zealand for the horrible event. It's been covered in so much detail we don't need to go into it. However, we know that there might be some poetry, some words about it tonight, and we just want to say, for any of our listeners there, our hearts are definitely with you, and we wish you all comfort and anything we can do, let us know. All right, so JT, do you want to fill everybody in about what happened, the horrible, horrible weather that hit us here in Denver? Actually, I'm acting like, yeah, I'm kidding, but it actually had some pretty serious effects on some
people. It was pretty
serious
effect. No, we had a cyclone bomb. Basically, we had a cat. We did.
That's true. It's just such a dramatic way to say it.
It was. We had essentially a Category 2 hurricane hit Colorado and a lot of other states.
That's it was strong, a snow.
Yeah, right, it was all snow and wind. And it mostly, it dropped a good 30 degrees in one day.
Wow.
Start off with rain and then just hammered us in the mountains, on the plains, in town. It actually locked down Denver. We were isolated.
Yeah. A whole lot of people didn't have power.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they were couldn't get into town and couldn't get out of town.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, we had a few fatalities. One was a highway patroller, mm-hmm, checking on a car and got struck by another one, yeah, on a closed highway. So,
man,
sucks.
Man. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that has been going around like that. You know, yeah. we had two snow days here.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think it was really more about just the travel, like the safety of travel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't cold. It wasn't cold like our friends who had that really terrible cold spell. It wasn't anything like that. But
no.
it was definitely you know, it was definitely pretty serious as far as the blowing wind and the snow and incredibly treacherous driving conditions.
Yes. Yes.
So, and of course, JT and I were, you know, texting and making, you know, like, hey, JT, did you get home okay? Now, if he had said no, I would have been like, I guess I could come out and get you, but it's probably going to be worse. Cause you're in a Jeep.
Yeah, I'm horrible. I'm out here.
What's the name of the animal in Empire Strikes Back?
The Tauntaun?
Tauntauns. That's the one. I would bring
a Tauntaun
out.
You know they're lukewarm, right?
They are. They smell even worse on the inside.
Sorry, it's a bad joke.
A little lukewarm.
They're just
not a little Luke Skywalker. Is what they are. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, let's move off that. So like I said, tonight we are revealing our poet of the month. Oh yeah, poet of the month. And
a little quieter, didn't you know?
I noticed that. Thank you for that. That was a very nice little adjustment there. It's all about the little things, as we say. All right, but before we get into it, I'm going to kind of lay out what our five rules are, just like I do at the beginning of every show. We'll just lay it out here. JT, stall for 3 seconds. Ready,
stalling
go.
Stalling for 3 seconds.
Okay, I'm back. Here we go. Rule number one, no hate speech. We've never had that on the show. We never will. Number two, please keep the work PG-13-ish. Try to skew that way if you can. We have families. We have people who listen. We want to make this a friendly environment for them to grow and enjoy poetry. That being said, we're not in the business of censoring people, but if we feel like it's getting a little too gratuitous and it's kind of crossing the line of like the real artistic side use of it, then we may just jump in quickly. We reserve the right and just recommend you read it during our After Dark segment, which we have on the first Friday of each month. Rule number three, when we come online, please be prepared. If you like the movie The Lion King, which JT does, he adores it, the song Be Prepared is a good one to remember for rule number three. Just make sure you have your poem ready when we come on the line. It just respects the time of everybody who is listening. Rule number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes. We might talk a little bit longer than that. We understand that. However, you know, we don't want the 15-minute long read, even though we love that poetry. It's sometimes it just gets to be a little much for the people who are listening, especially the ones on the East Coast, where it's starting to get later and later and later. And of course, the last rule is comments and suggestions. So basically, we love your comments. We love your suggestions. We want to actually be able to give them the attention that they're due. However, as I've said before, I am ADD AF. So if you mention them on the show and I'm in the midst of doing stuff and JT's in the midst of doing stuff, there's a good chance we won't remember it. And we don't want to do that anymore. So if you have one, please send it to us, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just say suggestion for the show or whatever in the subject line. Or you can put it in the subject or you can put it in the contact form, rather, on worldpoetryopenmic.net. And that way we'll be able to talk about it when we get together in the middle of the week. And we can actually give it the attention that it deserves. All right, those are our five rules. JT, is there anything you want to add?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, cool. So what we're going to be doing is doing a few segments, up to five unique callers. And then we'll do the first segment like that. We'll do the second segment. If we fill that up and we think there's room for a third, we'll go in and do a third segment. If for some reason we don't get all five in the next segment, that automatically triggers the return engagement, which means we can do a new segment where anybody who's called in can call back in and share another piece, or anyone who wants to call in can, and then we wrap the show from there. All right, here we go. First segment, we need five unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic with an MIC.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry, Open Mic.
And we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so very, very back. Hey, JT.
Yes, sir.
You remember the idea I floated when we were getting ready to come on the air tonight? The March, or the Ides of the March of the Penguins.
I think that would be an incredible film.
That would be. And so what would that be? That you become friends with penguins, or it's like a zookeeper, he's friends, and then just suddenly, like years later, something happens and he gets stabbed in the back and he turns around and it's just a bunch of penguins?
That is the worst penguin, you know, like Batman villain
penguin
movie.
Revenge flick. Yeah.
Oh, that would be cool. That's the Batman flick that we need.
Does it have to be a Batman flick, though? Could it just be
Batman, the Ides of the March of Penguins?
That actually sounds like a title to a comic book, by the way.
It does, doesn't they're it? Actually, it probably is.
The Ides of the March of the Penguins. All right. Yeah. Okay. So, hey, you know what else? Besides the Ides of March.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day. Yes.
What do you do on St. Patrick's Day? Do you do anything?
Typically, we just hang out. We don't really do much. Really? Tomorrow, we're having our kind of like our St. Patty's feast because of Gaming Crew.
Oh, that's
they're,
right.
They're making the food.
You're doing the corned beef and cabbage kind of
thing?
Yeah. Cool. My mother, being the redheaded Irish woman that she is, it is basically it's the same as like Christmas.
Oh, good.
Not that we get gifts or anything, but that you better be there. You know, like it is. It's not
what
a
time?
Joke. I think it's a 5 o'clock thing.
Okay, I'll
yeah, fair enough. Actually, you probably would totally be welcome. By the way, you would both be very welcome. But the so we're gonna be doing that, and then tomorrow night I'm going to a fundraiser for my school called Springfest, which is a really awkward event where I'm there with a bunch of teachers and a bunch of parents. And parents keep buying me drinks, and I keep trying to find ways to not drink around parents.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's kind of a thing.
Now, what kind of drinks do they hand you? Like, are they in, like, solo cups?
No. This is a black tie.
Oh!
So I'm being handed things like high-end gin and tonic. I'm being handed, ever since someone found out about the Myers and Pineapple, that happens. So stuff like that. Stuff like that happens.
You know, you can always do a spittoon.
Excuse me?
Get a spittoon. Okay. So basically,
oh, well, that just sounds like a very elegant solution, JT.
No, you get an empty beer bottle, if you can.
Okay.
Okay.
And just start pouring.
And when
stuff
you
in there.
Drink, when you take the drink, you drink it, but you reverse spit back in. You reverse it back into the.
It's like the grossest thing.
Really, you don't.
No. I totally get it.
And then you can just dump it later.
And like, then, like next to some plants or something?
Sure, yeah. There you go.
Well, see, I'm like the only guy there who doesn't bring a date or isn't married.
Oh.
Which is kind of awkward.
Very awkward, especially if they're trying to get you a little.
Well, they're Catholics, dude.
That's a good point.
They can't stand to have anyone not married.
Oh, I thought you meant drinking.
Procreating. Oh, no, they're good with the drinking. Catholics are fine with the drinking.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Italian and Irish Catholic, come on. The monks invented beer. Well, maybe didn't invent beer, but they really pushed beer forward. Let's be honest here.
They sure did.
All right. So before we go into this any farther, I would like to unveil the identity of our secret March 2019 Poet of the Month. All right. And just to get us back in the mood, I'm going to read you the clues that I have done over the last couple weeks. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
All right, cool. So first week, the first clue is this. A poet from Cartoonist came. The second was from New York to a running rabbit. And number three, the hen and hammer. All right. Then we go to the second week. First clue, a Toyota rabbit. Number two. Of second week, Nicholson and the Girls in Rhode Island. I thought that was a giveaway. Dead giveaway. And the third, End Point from the Grave. So the poet and author that I am talking about is none other than Mr. John Updike.
Okay.
All right. I'm just going to read this very quickly. John Updike was an American novelist, poet, short story writer, art critic, and literary critic. One of only three writers to win the Pulitzer Prize for fiction more than once. the others being Booth Tarkington, best name ever, and William Faulkner. Updike published more than 20 novels, more than a dozen short story collections, as well as poetry, art, and literary criticism, and children's books during his career. Hundreds of his stories, reviews, and poems appeared in The New Yorker starting in 1954. He also wrote regularly for the New York Review of Books. His most famous work is his Rabbit series, the novels Rabbit Run, Rabbit Redo, Rabbit Is Rich, Rabbit at Rest, and the novella Rabbit Remembered, which chronicles the life of the middle-class everyman Harry Rabbit Engstrom over the course of several decades from young adulthood to death. Both Rabbit Is Rich and Rabbit at Rest were recognized with the Pulitzer Prize. He was a pretty amazing writer, and he's a very interesting writer. There's a lot of depth to his work. And so that's why he is our March 2019 Poet of the Month. Oh, yeah, and he wrote The Witches of Eastwick. That's the Jack.
Not the Eaches of Westwick.
No, that's what happens when you apparently can't think straight or speak straight. That's what happens. By the way, today I was supposed to perform music at a mass.
Yes.
And the priest forgot, so he didn't show up. We got stood up at the altar.
Stood up by the priest.
By the priest. He just didn't show up. And so we did a liturgy of the word instead, which basically ended up with me vamping music throughout a rosary. I was just kind of like, I think I actually added in a little bit of Van Halen jump in there, but no one noticed. It was just slow motion. Or it just slowed down.
Yeah. Well, that's all you got to do, right?
Yeah. The can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the record machine. That really went over really well right after the third decade. All right, all right.
And I actually know what that is.
You do know exactly what that is. All right, well, let's go now to Dennis in Michigan to kick us off.
Should be there.
Good evening, Dennis.
Good evening. Hey, Friday night, I'm here.
It sounds like a man professionally scrambling. Way to go. How are you, sir?
I am well and blessed and thankful.
Good. As are we. As are we. So we've had a kind of a snowy week. Tell us it hasn't been the same for you.
No, we've been got a pretty mild week. It was cold to start with and warmed up very much. Had some winds blow through, but nothing like you've had. And I'm glad that it was so much less exciting here than it was there.
Good. We are too. Yeah. We're happy for that for you as well. So what do you have for us?
Well, since it is March and very, very close to St. Patrick's Day, I plan on reading the poem I always read around St. Patrick's Day. It's become a tradition. And this poem was also the first poem I ever read on World Poetry Open Mic. And I'm going to repeat it tonight. So here it is. The title of the poem is St. Patty's Sonnet, and it was written by J. Todd Underhill. The dancing shamrock doth bring to my mind the Emerald Isle's new morning dawn. Springtime rainbows are such a pleasant find as I dream of chasing a leprechaun. I'm always chasing the rainbow's end in search of the elusive pot of gold. 'Tis all blarney, says my best of friend, true Irishman, or never bought or sold. Alas, the leprechaun cannot be caught, but luck rolls in and out, as does the tide. Remembering this when I am distraught keeps a level of lightness deep inside. Remember, those elves are quite unwilling to part with even the slightest shilling. End of poem, a poem by J. Todd Underhill.
It never gets old, Dennis.
It's become a classic in my repertoire.
All right. That's great. You know, it's funny. I remember you reading that the first time, too, and it's always been something we just enjoy and we remember from the first time.
Mm-hmm. That first week, you said that was actually the second
week. Second week.
But yeah. It was the second week, but you guys said are challenging each other to talk with an English brogue the rest of the week.
That's right. I remember this. I actually tried doing it. I had this idea that I was going to do it for an entire year or something. I think I lasted a day.
Whoa.
I think I lasted a day. Like it just didn't even, it wasn't even going to come close to happening. Someone stepped on my foot and suddenly I was right back to my old voice again.
Okay. Well, it was a grand idea.
Maybe one day I'll even realize my dreams, Dennis. But not today.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, thank you once again for allowing me to share that. And I do miss J. Todd Underhill. I wish he could still be with us.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the way things are, and we carry on.
That's
we
right.
Carry on. So I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis leading us off, calling from Michigan. As you heard him say, he was a caller on our second ever show, and he's been there almost every time since.
Yeah.
I mean, when we say almost, we're talking 99.9% of the shows he's been there.
Yep.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Including one in person.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And we also have someone else on the line who's actually been and done something with us in person as well. But we're going now to Cleveland, Ohio, to visit with Mama Oladeji. Hello, Mama.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Welcome.
Happy almost St. Patrick's Day.
That's a reason to celebrate itself, you know. I pity the person trying to pinch me on Sunday, though, I'll tell you.
Oh, I need some help. I need some help here.
Okay.
I got like a piece of a limerick, but I don't know how to end it.
Okay.
So I was thinking, this is not my piece, though. This is just, I'm just asking for a little help here about the man from Nantucket that carried around two buckets.
Yeah.
One to take in and one to take let out. One had his beer and one had his stout. But when the beer was finished, he used the beer, the stout container to let out. And then when he got drunk, he got on his bicycle. I think both of the buckets was recycled. So
no,
I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay, it's too silly, but maybe somebody can help me. I'm kind of weird.
Mama, send it to me. I'll work on it during a break. Okay.
Written down. Okay, all right. Okay, anyway, he ended up drinking his piss. That's what the moral of the story is.
You know what, Mama? Is that not always the moral of the story?
I don't know. I was just trying to make a limerick, and I got stuck at the end. I didn't know where to go with that.
Yeah, fair enough.
But on a serious note, this is my piece, and it's called A Peaceful Day. Peaceful and still. Only turmoil is in the mind, the thinking. Peaceful days give way to thoughts. Thoughts not so peaceful. Peaceful days. Too much time to dwell on when things was not so well. Peaceful days shall be the day to let your mind be at ease. Should be the day that you just rest without a care. But the mind noise won't let us be. Mind noise takes you back to the crap. Peaceful days are for meditation and forgetting the not so peaceful days, but peaceful days should inspire. What if, or when will be the next day to leave you stranded on earth, stranded in time, trying to enjoy a peaceful day, fake calmness, scurry. Peaceful days can be scary. Nothing going wrong. Why is life deceiving me with this fake calmness? Not wanting to think about Korea's plan to hurt us. Otto. How many times did I call your name? Or on this peaceful day when I'm supposed to rest and make plans for the future, I think, who goes to prison? Whose life will be taken next? Stand with the evil. Another lie. Create. Or ask why we need a wall. Small children are held in cages on this peaceful day, or who will be the next to suffer from global warming, disaster, this fake calmness, this peaceful day? Or do I just live and feel a prayer coming on, just say a prayer and just call it a day? Or do I laugh? Or do I worry about the hereafter for myself and those I love? Secrets hiding, waiting to be revealed, waiting to hit us like a ton of bricks. The indifference, tired of the crap, tired of this fake calm, this creepy, this peaceful day. Then another thought creeps in. Today is a peaceful day, or so it seems. But how could I lay still and dream when the news flashes another scheme? Or some child was killed on the scene. Ah, yes, I cannot trust this stillness. I cannot trust this sterile day. Just lie still and say, God, thank you for the day. Am I discovering? Am I discerning a spirit? I detect or reflect the things that I don't want to expect. I expect the unexpected because today is supposed to be a reprieve, but not really. Order divine. Time, inevitable, horrible flatline. This day is horrible. This is not a peaceful day. In peace.
Wow. Very, very powerful. Really affecting. Enjoyed that, Mama. Enjoyed it in a deep way, you know.
I didn't hear you.
We enjoyed that very much. We enjoyed it in a way with depth. It's not just it's not what we just call a straight up crowd pleaser. There's something to it, you know.
Yeah. It's like you feel deceived. Yeah. You know, you lay down and sunshine, everything is beautiful for that one day, and did you have a chance to lay there and think of all the things that just are not in perfect order?
Yeah.
It's gonna stop.
Truth.
And then when I see that, I have another one about Otto too. And when I see that face, that cry, that baby, that just the tears that just rolled down. When I don't even know why he was there. I don't even know why he came to me. And I just see his mother, and I see that this unnecessary wickedness and evil and torture and things that just don't even need to be. But on one day, You know, we just see everything sometimes, especially when people just come by and visit you. So I speak on him and I call his name and I pray for his mother. Okay. Thank you for letting me see him.
Of course. Thank you. We love you, Mama. We appreciate you. Thank you. And that was Mama Ladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, in the second spot there. It was a strong piece. Strong piece. We've got poets who are up to the challenge, I know, including the person who's coming next, who also has come to Denver. Let's talk to Cynthia in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi, what a lovely piece from Mama.
Wasn't it? Wow. Yeah. I was blown away.
Yeah. Mesmerizing to hear her.
I know it was kind of got caught up and you forget, oh yeah, we're actually on the air right now. We should probably be aware of what's going on here. So anyway, how are you doing? How's everything with you?
Oh, I had a wonderful day. I got to walk on the beach. In between work and the radio show, I get to walk on the beach. So
oh,
how
that's
great is that, right?
Love that. Love hearing that. Yeah.
Although I didn't see the pictures of Denver, so I feel bad for you guys.
Oh, no, it was fine. Don't, you did, nothing to feel. It's literally, there's a few people who really had a rough time. There was a lot of cars that got stranded, specifically south of town. And, but we're, you know, all of us here in this area, we were just fine. Some people lost power not far from here. But, yeah, we're all okay. We appreciate it. If we see those other people, we'll pass it along, okay?
So I have a lighter poem for tonight, The Hope of Spring. I'm going to read the poem that Dennis and I co-wrote.
Beautiful.
And so Dennis taught me a lot. First off, he taught me the format. We chose together to do a quatern, and he taught me what they are. So if I get any of this wrong, he can correct me next time he's on.
Okay.
But I think a quatern has four quatrains, and what's really unique about it is there's one repeating line, and that repeating line changes place through each of the quatrains as we go through the poem. So we named our poem after our repeating line. Oh, and Dennis also taught me iambic pentameter, even though I know the definition off by heart. He was really patient with me when I tried to actually do it. Which actually is harder than it sounds, right? It sounds so easy, an unstressed syllable and a stressed one, but actually you have to really pay attention, and he was very, very patient. So this is our poem, As Spring Arrives to Our Delight. As spring arrives to our delight, a welcome friend returns at last. The crocus rise from slumber's night, another winter now has passed. The frosted earth relents its hold as spring arrives to our delight. Sweet snowdrops blossom in her gold, a waking dream she will ignite. My seasoned artist with foresight, the sequenced order, not by chance. As spring arrives to our delight, the flora fauna join the dance. From sacred soil, all life reborn, and days return to dreamy light. This wondrous season welcomes morn, as spring arrives to our delight. End poem.
That was so funny because I can absolutely hear Dennis in there, and I could completely hear you in that as well. It was a co-write in a very true sense, I can imagine.
That's so cool. It was really fun to get to do it. I mean, I love reading Dennis's powerful lines, and you can also see I've got the gentleness in there too.
Sure.
But hopefully it comes across as one voice. But yeah, I love that I got to do that with him. What a great treat.
I think it comes across very well as one voice. I think we're just so used to hearing both of you read. We feel like we can kind of intrinsically feel the style, which is probably why we're pulling apart. But
oh, no, I can tell too. I can feel like when I read Dennis lines, I want to read them in a really strong way.
Yeah, I can totally see it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Cynthia, thanks for sharing that with us. I was wondering what it was going to sound like. I was hoping it was going to make an appearance, so I'm glad it did. Thank you.
And thank you so much for hosting us.
Oh, no problem. Happy to do so. And we'll talk to you during the return engagement, I hope.
Yep.
All right, perfect. Thank you. And that was Cynthia, all business sharp, calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. I got to be honest. I actually makes me laugh. I love it because I don't. She doesn't mean it that way.
No.
But it's just like to me in the back of my mind, it's funny because it's just like she's not putting up with my junk. Just like done. All right. Now we're gonna head to Connecticut to visit with Barbara. Good evening, Barbara.
Hello,
Barbara. How are you?
I'm good. Busy, but good. And sad because today I was supposed to have an online lesson, my very first, with my tutoring service, and I was all set. And the woman said before she picked up her son, all set. But as soon as she got on,
yeah,
it didn't work.
Oh.
I spent an hour looking at my own face.
You didn't look away once?
Well, yeah, I had to, you know.
Okay. Oh, I see.
And it isn't fun. You don't look good on you know, those things.
No one ever does. Have you noticed that? No one ever looks good on those things, yeah.
Everything looked awful. I said, oh, God, I'm looking at new people and they're going to look at me. But it didn't come out that way. She didn't get to see me at all.
No.
So we're going to try next week. I mean, it was crazy. She called the people and then they sent her to a chat because they didn't have a... It was ridiculous. So I don't know if she got any results or not.
That's frustrating. Yeah.
I know. And she was so nice. She said, please charge me for this lesson, you know. So I said, all right, you know.
Well, if you insist. Yeah, no, I understand.
It's like going to a place. I've done that. I've gone to a lesson and they don't door. And,
yeah.
You know, you're like, what the hell? We planned this. Why aren't they there?
Oh, yeah. You know, what I learned, Barbara, is I just make everyone prepay at the beginning of the month. If they don't show up.
Yeah, well, you can't do that with Wise Ants. So,
yeah.
You know, you do what you can. Anyway, this is my... I was away last week because I was at a Broadway show. I was at Kiss Me, Kate. So I wrote this for the... And I'm not ever read it to you guys. It's prompts with imagination and unconventional.
Mm-hmm.
And the quote was from J.K. Rowling, I'm a writer and I will write what I want to write. And that's what I started out my poem with. I'm a writer and I will write what I want to write, J.K. Rowling. I write what I'm, this is the title, I write what my imagination and unconventional thoughts say. The world is enormous and full of things that catch the imagination of a writer. Why do I write? Why does my imagination require me to put words onto a blank sheet and continue until my mind is empty? They are sometimes not conventional thoughts brought to me by a small change in my environment that would not cause anyone else to do anything but remark how this or that has affected them. But the writer, I, must make sense of this, and soon there is the rush of words cascading from nowhere onto the page. Sometimes those words are not pretty. They speak of evils ignored or accepted by others and made to seem normal, since no one has confronted them in the way I have with my language, cursing whatever has destroyed my peace or is threatening my existence, or so I perceive. As a writer, I am free to explore any avenue, for the mind is a fountain of information, waiting to spew forth the experiences and images needed to show the importance of the thoughts. My words are my own and conjured from my own imagination with the unconventional thoughts I have had since a young girl, hidden then, since I thought them to be unusual and therefore not suitable for the company I found myself in most of the time, others unwilling to hear what my brain conjured for me. And so I wrote in secret and was unwilling to share with anyone for fear of their laughing at these, what I thought to be, inconsequential jottings. But the writer in me was always proud of them, my secret rants and suppositions shown only to a handful, and in hesitant and shy fashion, I laid out my inner soul, thinking there would be laughter and derision. Instead, as I gradually let more and more into this secret place, they applauded and lauded my work, while I felt unworthy, for this was my innermost thinking on the paper, and it always been unconventional. Not full of pretty images like lavender roses and silken nights. A writer has to write what she or he wants to write. And so I continued and eventually realized no two writers are the same and accepted finally the worth of my own output. For I have stayed true to my own imagination and my thoughts, though at times totally unlike any others, when placed on the page, create for me a sense of completion and peace. End poem.
Very, very nice.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I enjoyed that quite a bit.
That was me just, you know, spewing forth my thoughts. And sorry I didn't get here last week, but Kiss Me Kate was awesome. It really was just so good.
You know, just so you know, I haven't talked to him about it yet, but I'm going to try to really convince JT to help me stage a new version of Kiss Me Kate using only discount Halloween costumes that were left over in someone's backyard this summer. It's a warm-up because the next one we're going to do is Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Awesome.
All right. There awesome. Will be video. Michael. I will live stream this. JT's going to play all
awesome.
The main roles.
It's kind of like the on the Broadway channel. Do you get that channel?
No, I don't. I don't, unfortunately.
They did a spoof of Company, and they called it Co-op.
Oh, see, that makes sense.
You know, the Company recording that night?
Yeah.
They did it in 24 hours. They called it Co-op.
Oh, I like it.
You should try and get that channel. It's great. You love it.
Okay.
Okay, getting off and letting the last person get on. And all talk right. to you later.
Talk to you later. Thank you. Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut.
That's it.
That's all I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
People couldn't tell I had my finger in the air when I said Connecticut.
Yeah, you kind of stop, but there's no video for a reason.
Yeah, well... Lastly, that we will break our... By the way, I think I've mentioned this on the show years ago. The very first radio show I ever hosted on my own was I was called suddenly to take over for Lisa Pernarelli.
That's right.
And so I drove all the way out. I mean, I think I had like an hour to get there, and I lived 48 minutes away or something. So I get ready, jump out. I had a sports car at the time, so I'm driving way too fast. Get there. Jump over, meet, like run in. So I'm like, okay, I'm here to do the show. Show starts. And I just start vamping. And then I took callers, but I just vamped for an hour. But there was a little camera in the corner of the studio. And she responds afterwards. And Lisa's a really dignified woman.
Yeah.
She had been in news broadcasting and all.
Yeah.
So she's a pro. And she goes, wow, you're really good at that. You even have a great look for the industry and everything. And I go, Lisa, did you just say I have a face for radio? And she, I think, didn't realize I was joking. And you could see this moment where she's like, oh, no, I offended. And she just completely flipped the subject. But at the same time, I've actually been told that I have a face for radio now. Theoretically, I have a good look for the industry of being on the air.
Yeah.
That's a face for radio, my friend.
I understand.
Yes. I think that's a real thing.
I've met some people who... definitely have a face for radio.
Whose faces are, should we say, much more attractive than, or their voices are much more attractive than their faces?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, hey, we have, we've almost come to the end, but we're not quite there yet. We're going to end this in a place that everyone likes to, with chocolate. Let's go to a place where a guy's probably going to have to call us back. Hey, Jim, could you give us a call right back, please? Apparently, we can't hear you. We're having a Skype issue early this time.
Thank you.
Yeah, he got it. So I was going with the chocolate, the Hershey, Pennsylvania thing. It's not quite
Hershey.
No, it's not quite Hershey, but I'm trying to work that out. Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Hey, you know, at least they haven't told you that you have a voice for silent film.
You know what? I wouldn't put it past them, though. You know what my favorite part of that radio broadcast you were in, Michael? When it ended. That was my favorite part. Yeah. Anyway, Jim, how are you, sir?
I've been on staycation, so I'm kind of bored. Yeah. Out of my mind.
Fair enough. You're kind of losing your mind a little bit?
No, I just never had it to begin with.
No, fair enough.
It's somewhere in Peru.
What's it doing in Peru?
It was donated to a museum, I don't know what, and they won't give it back.
Those jerks. Anyway, by the way, so I have the old Irish blessing here worked out. I had my guitar here last week, but since you were not, I didn't do it for you. So we'll try to work out. Maybe I'll do a completely a cappella version for you this evening.
All right,
cool. So, but before we do that, I'm going to let you have the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
All right. Well, since St. Patrick's Day is on Sunday, I'm going to go with an Irish poet.
All right.
William Butler Yeats, and the Lake Isle of Innisfree. I will arise and go now and go to Innisfree, and a small cabin build there of clay and wattles made. 9 bean rows will I have there, a hive for the honey bee, and live alone in the bee-loud glade. And I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping slow, dropping from the veils of the morning to where the cricket sings. There midnight's all the glimmer, and noon a purple glow, and evening full of the linnet's wings. I will arise and go now, for always night and day. I hear lake water lapping with low sounds by the shore, while I stand on the roadway or on the pavement's gray. I hear it in the deep heart's core. End of poem.
Jim, great read. That Yeats could turn a phrase, as they say. No, he was.
And I've always liked his delivery. You know, it's kind of a sing-song.
Mm-hmm.
It's been referred to as an elevated chant by some critics.
Absolutely.
But I just like the way, he reads. He kind of inspired me, you know, with my delivery.
Absolutely. No, I think there's a lot to, one thing I will say, a lot of times with being, you know, part Italian, part Irish, I get a chance to look into both cultures and kind of see which each has done really well. And obviously the Italians have done quite a bit well. But when it comes to specifically words and with some music, the Irish are very strong, but especially when we're starting to talk about the lyrical poetry, and even their poetry in music is also very, very high, you know, high echelon compared to a lot of people. But the Irish poetry, the Irish poetic sense is one of the strongest, and I think Yeats is such a good example of it, and his delivery as well.
Sorry, burping.
And that's a cherry on top, Jim. No, Jim, thanks so much. Really appreciate that, and we'll hear from you hopefully during the return engagement.
Yeah, I have a new piece. It's a little on the depressing side, but it's kind of where my mind's been going lately.
Fair enough. Bring it on, man. We're there for it. We can do this. All right. We'll talk to you then, okay?
All right.
Okay. Bye. And that was James calling from Pennsylvania, home of the vampires. That would have been funny if all of the teams from Pennsylvania just went all in on the vampire thing, and everybody was like, "It's not trans," but they just kept doing it anyway.
That's so wrong. Funny.
If you get a whole state behind a pun, well, what is it? Wasn't it in the UK? Was it the UK where they got to name the boat that the public
owned? Bodie McBoatface?
Bodie McBoatface. See, that is what I'm talking about.
Instead of the Sir David Attenborough.
And you want people wonder why there's a thing called the Electoral College right now? It's because we're worried that we're going to get Bodie McBo- Never mind. Okay, so we're going to go into the next segment. We need 5 more unique callers, or as many as we can get to call in, but up to 5. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic.
Rock the mic, rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic, hot. Hot, hot like this, I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock, when you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back here at the beginning of the second segment. We're getting ready to roll into the weekend with St. Patrick's Day, which is the sexiest of all the holidays. Yep, St. Patrick's Day, talking about driving out the snakes. Moving into the next callers, we've got JT just rolled his eyes.
Wow. In an
that was incredible. Thank you. All right, we are going to go to the three, not five, not two, excepting that you then proceed to three. Exactly. We have 1, 2, 5.
Three
poets. But we're going to go to the first now. I think people think we...
Jim is probably sitting there going, hurry up.
Jim's like, where was this? Where was the Monty Python voice? Where was the Michael Palin voice? No! Okay, we're going to go to Stan in Alabama. Hello, Stan.
1, 2, 5?
Yes, that's a joke that I've had in the back of my head, I think, since I was like a 14-year-old. And it's never left, Stan. It's always there.
That's okay. I just figured it was new math.
Singapore math is what it is. That's what they call it now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How are you? How's everything going out there?
Oh, everything's calm as it could be out here. We were waiting for all the severe weather, and it just didn't decide to show up. It just didn't.
I'm happy to hear that. We were thinking about you this last week, hoping that things were going to be all right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good. It was wet, but that's about all.
All right. Well, good. I'm happy to hear that was all it was.
So are we.
Yeah, I would imagine. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
All right. I've decided I'm going to go with a poem called Stand True, which was written as a poetic form of the month, and the poetic form is A. Freshly. Political deception, a constant all should appall. Ethics left in rejection, far worse than I can recall. Behold, death of honesty, while facts in shadows untold. Shameless with no modesty, their lies so proudly extolled. Political correctness, censorship's walls they install. Stand, demand truth regardless, lest free speech's death befall. End peace.
I really enjoyed that one. JT, what'd you think?
That's a great piece.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Awesome read, too.
That, I got to admit, you guys, that was a wonderful challenge, that particular form. That was.
I'm glad. Yeah. I think that's those challenges keep, and I think from all the, you know, there's different shows doing challenges and all this stuff that we have, but I think it keeps us all kind of fresh when we're doing it.
Oh, I'm loving it. I am.
Perfect. That's great.
Keeps me on my damn toes. That's what it does.
And I think that's what we all need. We all need to be kept on our damn toes. I know I do. That's why I'm standing here in the corner. It's the Ides of March, and I'm worried about JT.
Oh, it's happening.
He's been walking around with this knife all night, and he's just looking at me saying, don't worry, things are fine. And he keeps asking me to check out things on the wall, but I'm not turning around.
Yeah, the last thing we need to hear over the mic is, et tu, JT?
And then
we
his,
don't need to hear that.
Exactly. And then his response would be,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is payback.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anyway, all that aside, thank you, Stan. And hopefully we'll hear from you during the let me try that again. Hopefully we'll hear from you during the return engagement.
Well, yes, you will. Thank you.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, laying it down, picking it up, smacking it in the face, and putting it back down again. I know how much JT, everybody, I know how much JT kind of like doesn't like this, so that's why I always do that. It's just a funny pet peeve. It's kind of like how much he hates the French Revolution, which I've still never gotten to the bottom of. Are you an anti? You might be an anti-Francophile. Like you love to dislike the French.
No, because I don't mind the French.
But see, that's the thing, though. It's like you don't mind the French, but when was the last time you were at a French restaurant?
It's been a while.
Yeah. When was the last time you listened to something French?
Probably last week.
Well,
Daft Punk.
Besides Daft Punk, two guys in helmets.
But they're French.
As far as you know.
Oh, I know they're
French. They could be German. They could be a few escaped Nazi officers trying to pass themselves off.
That is so weird.
That would be a way to get over it.
That's some weird time travel stuff.
Yep, but also, if you were going to try to survive in Paris and be like, we never could get tickets to Argentina. Put on these helmets. Let's make disco music. Okay.
Jonathan from Florida needs to give us
a
call.
Okay, Jonathan from Florida, give us a call, please. Save us from this alternative timeline. You don't think that works? I think it works.
That'd be a really interesting thing.
Well, so the French Revolution, it's just something that just doesn't resonate with you, right? Is that what's going on?
It doesn't appeal to me. There is just something that just, meh.
Is it the Les Miserables side of it?
No.
Or is it the actual French Revolution?
It's the whole thing.
Do you like the idea of royalty a little more? Like, you don't like the idea that they went in and, like, you know, brought in the guillotine and all that?
No. It's like portions of it I get, and so I don't have a problem with
sure.
it. Sure. It's just, I don't know, any depiction of it, I'm just like, ugh.
Really?
On the royal side?
Sure.
On the peasant side?
Sure.
I'm like, ugh. I can't stand the Three Musketeers.
Really?
Yeah, it's just
even the best one that was ever made, which was the one with Charlie Sheen in '93.
You know,
hands down the best.
Porthos was great, but it was just I'm like, yeah, Tim Curry.
Tim Curry as Richelieu was pretty good. Michael Wincott was Rochefort.
Okay.
But then other than that, all of the musketeers that had just straight, flat American Midwest accents.
Yes. But even the other versions, I'm like, eh. Man in the Iron Mask, I enjoyed it as a movie, but I just, it was that whole thing.
Sure.
I don't really care. You can get rid of this thing. Okay. It's a thing of history that just.
Doesn't connect to you. Is there a period of history that you... I mean, by the way, we're totally killing time, so Jonathan can call us.
Yeah.
We're going to give it another minute or so. Or not a minute, but just like a few more seconds, and we'll let it go. Is there a period of history you do like?
Oh, I do like the Old West, because it was such a short time frame.
Sure.
And so much happened.
Yeah.
And I love medieval.
Do
love
you?
The medieval era. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. But And that it's that extend through kind of the Renaissance, or
Is
it when people start getting a little foppish, you start having issues with it?
Yeah, but the Renaissance period, I love the art that came out.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Rembrandt.
Okay.
A lot of people are you know, like they have their Da Vinci or their
Rembrandt's amazing.
And I'm a Rembrandt.
Rembrandt's
kind of guy.
Amazing.
And sitting in and going into London and into the art,
sure,
they're huge. Absolutely huge paintings.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going, and that's him depicting himself young, current, and old. And they're huge portraits.
And yet we still don't call them selfies.
No. So
weird. And the other thing is people think, wow, this artist was such a, It's these monumental paintings. These are so big. Well, people didn't realize that a lot of that came from just sheer canvas space. You make it so big, no one can ignore the damn thing, and they have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Since we haven't heard from Jonathan, that's okay. We're going to move to Mary in Arizona. Let's give her a moment of notice. We'll just kind of like hang back here for a second. Oh, Mary.
Here.
Hey, all right, hello. Here we go.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello, hello Mary.
Lachaim.
Hello
there. All right. Woo, that was close.
It was close. Right. We wanted to give you a little bit of a head start there.
I heard Jonathan, and then suddenly I was here. All right.
You're like, that's not my name. Okay, fair enough.
I'm over it. I'm going to try to have some background thing, and I have just a little thing to read.
Okay.
I don't have too much to say about any of the current events. I'll just say in my music and my words. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just posted Year of the Cat, so that's my background. And we'll start with Al Stewart and then Scribble. So bear with me, I don't know, a few minutes into it. I won't maybe go to the end because it's not a very long read. I called my poem Steady the Hand. Eyes neither blinking nor steady, stared enough for an eon's edge at odds. Processing, self-prophesied steps, trying to get out of predictable modes. Never the wisest pastime with a past that haunts itself with repercussions. Playing out the hand, though the cards in the deck seem stacked now. And royal flushes, well, they were flushed and spent already. Still the game plays on, and poker faces are important here. For with just the right smile and attitude, perhaps we can even fool ourselves into thinking that we still have an ace in our pocket. And home. Okay, that's it. Mary doing it all. It's in the background, so let's chat.
No, very nice. Thank you so much. And I know the chat room loved it too. Yeah,
I feel you're here with me.
We are, you know, and especially on the Ides of March, you need to be very careful about that kind of thing.
See, I watched. I didn't step on any cracks today, Michael.
Good.
I swear, I watched my words. I looked behind me. I was something more Shakespearean about it.
You know, there is something incredibly Shakespearean about it. And when I walked in the room, I hadn't even thought about it. And then I saw JT and I went, this was not a good choice. Ooh. Yeah.
The crown. Give him the crown.
There is no crown. I have no hair. This is just the
just
shine on my head.
Horn.
That's just wax on my head. All right, Mary. Thank you so much.
On to the next, and thank you very much, you guys.
Hey, thank you. We'll talk to you shortly.
Yeah,
all right. And that was Mary calling from Arizona. Wrapping up.
Or do you want to try and give Jonathan another quick try?
Okay, Jonathan, let's do it one more try. Jonathan in Florida, give us a call. We will talk about all kinds of things. We can talk about poetry.
We could.
We can talk about love. We could talk about the stitching in a men's jacket. We could talk about why you want floating canvas. You do not want attached canvas, and you definitely do not want felt.
No, felt would be weird.
The felt is in most. So I would almost anticipate JT.
I saw it pop. There he is.
There he is. Let's bring.
You ready?
Here we go. Let's bring him on. Good evening, Jonathan. How are you, sir?
Hey, how are you?
Doing
Sorry
real.
About that.
It's okay. We got you. No problem.
Hold on. I need to turn off my computer.
Right, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm sorry. I have my computer on silent. I didn't even realize.
You know,
bad.
We figured things like this happen. It's no big deal. Big deal at all. So,
all right. Thanks for your understanding.
You got it. You got it. Well, how about this? I'm just going to give you the stage. We'll go, and then we'll talk after, okay?
Okay. It's appropriate because I got to read this fast since I kind of missed my place. And the poem is called Fast.
All right.
It's about things going fast. Fast the typing of the secretary, fast the trickery of power and madness, fast the birds gliding through the sky and the plane flying by, fast the principal's hand flogging asses of Catholic boys, fast father's work ethic and mother's cooking, fast the speed of my car being pulled over by a policeman, fast the bullshit flung from schools, offices, and Capitol Hill, fast the ripples of shimmering water and the sunlight and the speed at which those rays travel, speed of light, fast the quickly shifting movements of fleas, lice, bedbugs, roaches, mice, and rats of crack stench SROs, fast the spinning of a Vegas slot machine and fast the draining of grandma's social security check therein. Fast the bullet shot of suicide and splatter of brain bits and blood flood on the wall. Fast the swooping hands of death extinguishing the flame of life and fast the last breath. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I have got to slow it down. End of poem.
Well done,
yeah.
sir. Well
Dug
done.
That one.
Yeah.
Dug that one. Great job. Really enjoyed it.
All right. Okay. I'm glad you did. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, no problem. No problem,
Thanks
man.
Thanks for being on.
Yeah. Happy to do it. Happy to do it. Well, I'll talk to you hopefully during return engagement.
All right. In the future. Bye.
All right. Bye. In the future.
Always in the future.
Things that are supposed to happen always happen in the future. Do you notice that, JT?
I have. Have you? So did you hear, real quick side note, you hear that scientists have come up with this like quantum computer that went backwards in time?
Really?
It time traveled backwards.
So what did it do?
It made a quantum leap.
Well, I mean,
sorry. No, it was just a thing that they've been working on. I know I did a horrible thing, but Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've been working on a quantum computer, and they've been able to go backwards with it. Not just, like,
really?
Setting the clock back, but it actually
I'm kind of
like,
fascinated by this.
Traveled.
Really?
Yeah, it was really interesting. So
wow.
It's progression. You know, if they can get into that. It's quantum computing, so it's that
next level. Yeah. Interesting.
And then that unlocks a whole bunch of other weird stuff that's potential.
Did you hear about Orion's belt? He's had to tighten it. Yeah, he had a bunch of wasted space. I'm sorry, that's a terrible joke.
Oh,
only 3 stars.
It's a good thing I love you.
All right. So we're going to do something that I promised Mr. James Rothline that I would do. We got to do this quickly. We're going to clinch, and we're going to go into Studio X briefly. You ready?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. There we are. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic ASMR of Michael drinking obnoxiously some coffee.
Yeah, that's just not. Wow.
You could, yeah. Or hey,
I don't think that's what Jim was actually wanting.
Welcome to ASMR of World Poetry Open Mic. Michael reading all of the names of the animals in the world, starting with A.
Just
we could do that. Okay, that's not what this was.
No, this is not what this is.
So I was going to read the old or sing the old Irish blessing for James.
Right.
Last week, he wasn't there for some reason. I just lost it out of my mind. I didn't bring my guitar this week. So I'm going to sing this a cappella. I hope this doesn't suck, guys. So even though this is a prayer, pray for me that this prayer is okay. Me, 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 me. Okay, there we go. There's the range. Sorry, I'm having to warm up here. Okay, here we go. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. The sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Excuse me. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. The sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields, and until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. May God hold you in the palm of his hand. There you go, James. With the exception of the voice break, my voice isn't still fully back yet. Apologize for that. All right, so should we now go into the return engagement, JT? All right, anybody who wants to call back in and share another poem. Anybody who wants to call in for the first time and share one, let's do it now. There's not a cap of 5. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
Hey, JT.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear about that news about boomerangs?
No.
They're coming back. Just like we are back now for the for the return engagement. JT hates that humor of mine. It's okay. It makes me laugh.
All right, it's got to make somebody laugh.
Well, one hopes.
Right.
One hopes. I actually am pretty sure that 90% of the jokes I make, no one ever laughs at. But I crack myself up, and honestly,
that's really all that matters.
Yeah, there, I have a lot of moments where I'm like, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm funny. Okay. It's pretty obvious, I think, when I do that.
It is.
All right. So we're just going to go right into it. We've got six great callers lined up. Now, do we have anyone who's going to have to call in just so I know?
I don't think so. I think they're all there. I think we're all there.
Okay, cool. So now we're going to head right now to Michigan, back to Dennis in the number one spot. Hello, Dennis. Welcome back.
Yes, I'm here for the return engagement.
Well, you're in the right place.
Excellent. Excellent.
I love it when things work out.
Yes.
So I know that you mentioned to JT you have plans for this this segment. You're going to read, I think, something from our Poet of the Month. Is that right?
That is correct. I'm going to read a poem by John Updike.
Beautiful.
And the title is Planting Trees. Our last connection with the mythic. My mother remembers the day as a girl. She jumped across a little spruce that now overtops the sandstone house where she still lives. Her face delights at the thought of her years translated into wood so tall, into so mighty a peer of the birds and the wind. Two, the old farmer, still stout of step, treads through the orchard he has outlasted, but for some hollow-trunked, much-loped apples and Bartlett pears. The dogwood, planted to mark my birth, flowers each April in a soundless explosion. We tell its story time after time. The drizzling day, the fragile sapling had to be staked. At the back of our acre here, my wife and I, freshly moved in, freshly together, transplanted two hemlocks that guarded our door gloomily. Green gnomes, a meter high. One died, gray as sagebrush next spring. The other lives on, and someday will dominate this view no longer mine. Its great, lazy, feathery hemlock limbs down drooping, its tent-shaped caverns resinous and deep. Then may I return, an old man, a trespasser, and remember and marvel to see our small deed that hurried day. So amplified, like a story through layers of air told over and over, spreading. End of poem. A poem by John Updike.
Beautifully done. And now I think a lot of people can understand why we chose him as a Poet of the Month.
Yes, well, I didn't even know he was a poet.
Oh, really?
Until I started looking it up because your clues led to him.
Yeah.
But I didn't know he was a poet.
Oh, no kidding.
You learn something new every day, whether you want to or not.
Sometimes you're just straight out forced.
Yes, a good choice, too. Oh. And I was once again, impressed with your choice. He has a variety of stuff. Well worth looking into. So I'd advise anybody to go check him out.
Wonderful. Hey, Dennis, thanks so much for leading off with reading something from him and really setting a great tone for the return engagement segment, too, and for everything else you do for us.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be on first or last or in between because this is a wonderful, wonderful venue you have supplied us, and we are happy to support it. But I put out a challenge for everybody that's within listening ear to go out and bring somebody with you back next week. Let's double, maybe triple the number of poets that are going to read.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
That'd be great. I love it. I think, and also the other side of it too, I think we do, we were looking at the numbers. We were thinking, you know, honestly, one thing that we didn't really talk about was the time change. And we think the time change also screws up some stuff too. So, but
yeah,
yes.
Daylight waste of time is a mess. And, it ought to be abolished in the land.
I agree with you
100%. Maybe we can start that movement. Anybody with me?
All right.
Write me and let me know.
All right.
It's a grassroots campaign.
Perfect. I'm all about it.
All right.
Thank you,
well,
sir.
Well, I've had my turn. I'm going to step aside and let the next person step up to the mic. And I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, leading off our return engagement segment. You know it's going to be a good segment when Dennis leads it off like that.
Yeah.
All right, now we're going to go to no slouch in her own right at all. At all. Let's go to Cynthia in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi.
Hey, welcome back.
Thanks. What a great start to the second part.
No kidding, huh? No kidding. John Updike, Dennis is reading. That's good stuff.
And, you know, there is a petition going around in Canada to stop daylight savings.
Good. There's a lot with that going on here. A lot, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of, and we, I think it was the stats, isn't it, in the JT, in like the 20 early, like small, or like the lower 20th percentile of like heart attacks and strokes go up for 2 weeks after we spring forward. And people who already have pre-existing conditions leading up to it, accidents go up a lot. I mean, there's so many negative things. And the whole reason we came up with it to save electricity actually has proven to be wrong.
Yeah, so hopefully a new beginning.
Yeah.
Actually, this is kind of a fitting poem. I'm doing a cover. I think the title is quite fitting. For all this, it's called, I'm doing a James Roethlin cover. Dennis sent me the World Poetry Open Mic Anthology, so I finally have a copy.
Oh, good.
And congratulations, Michael. It's beautiful. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And James Roethlin's poem, A Poem for the End, the title just really caught my attention. So I'm doing a cover of his work. A Poem for the End. Here's a poem for the end and the new year that soon begins. Waiting in the waning hours, before the old man becomes a child, we celebrate and remember love and laughter, sorrow and tears, new friends found, old ones lost. Another journey once round the sun, fades, slipping into the past. We face the future, abundant with what is not new under the sun. Success and failure, joy and sadness. And as we strive for a better life, let us dare to be content. End poem by James Roethlin.
Let us dare to be content.
I love that powerful finish, like the strong title, the powerful finish, the juxtaposition in it.
Yeah, yeah. There's some really strong stuff. I remember going through everything when we were getting ready for the anthology to come out and thinking, there's such strong work. We're very blessed on the show to have the poets that we do call in.
I'm so grateful for this book, too. I'm teaching a youth workshop, and we're doing alliteration right now. I'm just like, so amazed by some of James's lines, like waiting in the waning hour.
Oh, yeah.
So beautiful.
That's a great idea.
Thanks for the anthology. But thanks, Dennis, for sending it to me and Michael for putting it together. And
oh, of course.
All the contributors. And thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, you're very, very welcome. And thank you. We'll talk to you again next time, hopefully.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, in the second slot in our return engagement. Now we're going to go from Vancouver to the natural next step, Alabama, to visit with Stan. Hello, Stan. Welcome back.
Ah, Yes, we're on our way to St. Patty's Day, are we not?
Yes, we are.
Oh, a little something for you, Michael.
All right.
She wheels her wheelbarrow down the streets broad and narrow. The barrel is narrow, but her hips are too wide. Wherever she wheels it, the neighborhood feels it. Her girdle keeps scraping the walls on each side. Now in Dublin's fair city, the girls are so pretty. Me Molly stands out because she weighs 18 stone. That's 256 pounds. It's not that she's fat, but it's not only that, but she's cockeyed and muscle-bound, Molly Malone. Thank you, Alan Sherman.
Oh, Stan, there's so many things I could say right now, but all of them will get me into trouble. So thank you for that. Thank you for that version. It's a favorite song of mine already.
Well, now that we're done with the silly part of it, we'll get into some poetry.
All right.
And this is actually a poem that was inspired by a quote from Chaucer. And the quote was, "Your two great eyes will slay me suddenly. Their beauty shakes me who was once serene. Straight through my heart, the wound is quick and keen," end quote. And the poem I wrote off of that was Piercing. In those soul-clutching eyes, an abyss of wonder and trance. Impossible to not stare transfixed, though try to merely glance. A depth within them so profound, her body and hair barely seen at all. A sensuous siren of infinite charm, my soul's feelings rush forth in free fall. She moves as if fluid in easy grace. I gaze at the swaying saunter of her hips. Her hair cascades of wildfire tresses. Soft-petaled rose dew moist her lips. Feel my steadfast reserve slipping fast. Then back into those eyes I peer. My heart open to the honed edge of her winds. I await my fate as she draws near in peace.
Very, very well done. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
It's a good piece.
Yeah.
I don't usually do romantic, but that one worked.
Yeah, no, I think so. Well, I mean, but there's different ways to do it, right? And I think you came at it from an angle that makes sense for your style as well.
Style? What style? I have a style?
Apparently, we all have a style. That's what they tell me anyway. Don't ask me who they are. I have no idea.
Well, I want to say this to you guys and to the poets out there. Thank you. Because whatever this style is, I've gotten it from all of you. And I appreciate it.
Wow. Stan, thank you, and thanks for everything you do. We love having you here every week, and it does matter. So you are appreciated.
Oh, and so are you, gentlemen, and on to the next.
All right. Thank you. And that was Stan calling from Alabama in the third spot in the return engagement. Now we're going to go to a place, a magical place, a place where one is never short of a writing utensil. Let's go to Pennsylvania.
Hello.
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 It's not a thing, dilly dilly. It's not a thing. There
dilly
you go.
Dilly.
Well, now it just sounds like you're agreeing with me.
See?
No, it's a thing. Oh, it's a thing. Oh, it's cool.
You You know, we're never going to let this die. It's going to be like years from now.
Whoa, it's a thing.
Yeah. Hey, it's done a thing. Here lies Michael Amade. It's not a thing. Yeah.
And right next to him, there will be my gravestone that said, oh, it's a thing.
Yep, yep. See, this is how feuds are made. All right. So what do you have for us this time, Jim?
Well, it's one I did just a day or two ago. I did it early yesterday morning, actually.
Okay.
And it's called Dandelion. A dandelion with thistle thorns, briar patch tendrils wrapped about him, body and soul. But for all the torment, he clings in desperate fashion, weary of the roses holding him at arm's distance. End of poem.
There's a lot to unpack from that one.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Yeah. Been enjoying it, though. So let me ask, when you're on your staycation, how long did it take you for things to turn really existential?
My mind just kind of shuts down the moment it started.
See, that's kind of what I thought. It's like I sit there and go, yeah, I'm going to watch Game of Thrones. I'm going to, and then like a few hours later, I don't know why I exist. Time off is a scary, scary proposition for me.
Well, I don't get to do this again until August, but at least in August, at least part of the time, I'll have some place to go.
Okay.
I'm supposed to be doing a thing in Doylestown for Melanie Ice. I'll be the featured poet.
Oh, really? Cool.
Featured poet. I'm not a poem, I'm a poet. So I have to come up with a 45-minute program.
Really? You know what you could do? You could do a long poem, but you could just say one word every minute. And then if you really want to be like Marina Abramovic, you could just punch yourself in the face in between.
Well, I do have one long poem. One.
How long is this?
About 3 pages.
Okay. Yep, that could do it. Because if you're like, I take a drink of water, look at your watch. Once, yeah, exactly, yeah.
I could be flash, 100-mile dash from Zootopia.
Yes,
you definitely could. This, you could be the sloth reading poetry.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the way the world began. And then, that line repeats 3 times.
Well, you know, the thing I think that would be wonderful is when you do it, people will kind of at first be kind of weirded out. Then they'll kind of laugh. Then they're going to get really uncomfortable and start getting really intolerant. And how long until the vegetables start being thrown?
It'd be just like Andy Kaufman when he read The Great Gatsby.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen that clip from the movie.
It's such a funny idea. Yeah, it really is.
But I don't have a record player that will play me doing a British accent.
Yeah, that's frustrating. Yeah. Excuse me. You do have some time, though, Jim. You do have some time. You could make this happen. Just throwing that out there.
I could.
If it wasn't a dumb idea. No.
Tried.
You very well could. All right. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for everything. Now I've just totally set myself up for the rest of the show. You might as well go make a sandwich. We're going to finish saying goodbye, and then we'll be back in about 45 minutes. So anyway, Jim. All right. So Jim, we'll talk to you next time, okay?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. And that was James calling from Pennsylvania, land of the vampire.
Oh.
It's kind of like the difference between a donut and a donut. What's the difference between a donut and a donut? A donut's smaller? That's the difference?
Yeah, I think so.
I have cracked so many jokes in my school about the donuts being the holiest of all the pastries, and none of the kids laugh because to them it's serious.
Right.
It's like straight serious. But then I also say that donut holes are actually, when you really think about it, they are the conundrum of the pastry world. They are a thing that is meant to be something that does not exist. See that?
Yeah.
It is the weirdest name when you really think about it. And sometimes I think I have too much time to myself.
Sometimes?
And other times I think about Connecticut. Let's go to Connecticut and talk to Barbara.
I got fascinated by your discussion on donut holes.
It's a thing, though, right? I mean, it's like you're actually thinking it is something that represents something that does not exist.
Well, you're talking about something that we almost worship here. We have a place called Donut Crazy, and it's not like Dunkin' Donuts or Donut Delight. It's not like that. Donut Crazy uses frosting to fill in the holes.
Yeah.
And they fill it in inside the donut, too. And they put crazy things on, like cereal and Nutella and, oh, my God, marshmallows. And they don't look like donuts. They're just awesome. So we have donuts, like, almost every week. We buy six, and then we have them for, like, 3 days for the three of us.
Mm. Well, Barbara, you should look up Voodoo Donuts in Colorado and tell us. Oh, you should look it up because we have a crazy, crazy
chain. Is it like Donut Crazy? I'll look them up. Okay.
It sounds like Donut Crazy. And just from your description, though, it sounds a little bit like Donut Crazy on steroids. But we might be a little bit different. So it might be very close to the same concept. But at any rate, let's get to some poetry.
We can compare them.
You can talk about holy pastries the whole time.
Yes, I actually wrote something after Mama read her poem about peaceful days. I got inspired to write something that was in my head, and so I'm going to read it. Then if you want to talk later, we can talk after. But
sounds good.
It's called A Reason for Tears. Tears pool in my eyes, but they don't fall. For if they started, there would be a pool, Alice in Wonderland-like, from the events that created them. Fresh scenes ignite anger and sadness at the same time as I see once again the bloodied bodies innocently trying to live and once again struck down like bowling pins, felled by the callous people who hold guns like newborn babies and use them to destroy any who are not like them, wielding their power to erase what they feel is a menace to them. And again, the unknown marauders attacked a body of devoted souls whose worship they felt would protect them and who died at the hands of uncaring, gun-toting people. There was a woman in this terrorist group, showing sadly even a woman can join the winnowers of innocence and carry out the event a man would. True equality at last. The color and smell of blood flowed over the innocents as they knelt in prayer, unprotected from the prejudice and anger living in those gun-holding hands. End poem.
Wow. Yeah. It is a...
I wrote that tonight.
I imagine, yeah. Yeah, it's just such a horrific thing. It's really hard to know what to
say with such kind of senselessness, you know?
Well, that's this just... I just can't stand it anymore. I can't stand it. What's going on everywhere just makes me want to cringe and cry and eat donuts. And I mean, I even baked a cake this week because I just wanted to make myself feel good.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there is nothing that's making me feel good. You know, it's like, if you look at the news, it's bad. If you don't look at the news, it's bad. If you look at other countries, it's bad. If you're sitting in your house and trying to mind your business, you hear about awful things, and it's bad. And so thank God for writing, because if writing weren't there for me, I'd just maybe, like, you know, go somewhere and scream. You know, it's my way of screaming, so.
Yeah, I get it.
That's, like, consider it my scream.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, it's kind of that way. But I also, the thing that I'm starting to find, and I know this sounds sometimes like I'm advocating for ignorance, but on the other hand, I'm really finding a lot of value in just shutting the news off.
Well, yes, you can. Yeah. You can, Michael, you can. But I have to say that even if you shut off the news still continues behind your back.
Oh, totally.
And could be screwing over you.
Well, it's true. No, you're right. And I've definitely gone through that in my head as well. But like, for instance, as an example, the terrible incident in New Zealand. Now, it's a horrible thing.
Yeah, that's
and
in no what way, I'm talking about.
And
that's
in no way
what
would
I'm
I.
talking about.
Right. But let me bring this up, though. So not that it's not that this diminishes it at all. But if we're talking just from a very personal standpoint, so just, you know, you and your place or wherever. Me knowing now or me knowing in a few days is actually not changing anything about the situation. All it does do is allow me to not be on this constant fear and anxiety drip. And so for me, like, and I'm just saying for my own personal choice, I do hear about stuff too. And I do like to be informed and everything, but I just realized that it's a never ending cycle. They always want us to be freaked out or outraged because that's where ratings come from. And there's, and that's actually not a negative call. That's just the business. That's just what they're doing. But it's,
I think that you're right in some ways. And there comes a time in the news when I can't listen anymore. And I just turn it off.
Yeah.
But it pops in.
Oh, I get it.
And I just can't. I can't ignore it. I mean, it's impossible to ignore just complete lack of care for people, and it's impossible to ignore what happened last night. We can't.
Oh yeah.
We can't ignore it.
Sure.
And by not ignoring it, you're saying that you are a person, a human being. Now, giving a lot of time to it, no. Giving a lot of time to people who are, you know, on the opposite side, definitely not. But every now and then something good comes, like, you know, the Connecticut Supreme Court said that people can now sue gun owners, you know, mm-hmm. gun manufacturers. And it's a tiny thing, but these things help. And that's in the news, too. So it's like, yes, there's bad stuff, but you could hear some good stuff, too. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to get off the phone and let the person who's after me get on. So
love you, Barbara.
Thank you, Michael,
thank
for
you.
A great show again. And everyone who read Magnificent tonight, Jim, your poetry is amazing. And just read from your book and read from the things that were published, and everyone will love it. So don't think about it too much. And I'm going to get off the phone. So have a great week, Michael and JT. Okay.
You as well.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. Sorry about a little discourse there on news media. It's not exactly poetry. All right. Now, you ready, JT? We are now traveling to
a place where someone needs to call us back. Mary, could you call us back, please? So I feel what is you know, the voice I really wish I could just slip into is Katharine Hepburn. I feel like that would be a very useful voice. Don't you think?
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, Mary. Welcome back.
You make me go through all that, like, nervous. Come on.
I'm sorry. Nervous. You know, it wasn't a plan.
Thanks for hanging on, everyone. Still awake. Good girls and boys. Here we go. So silly me, huh? I wrote a little something a year ago as I looked it up, because I wrote it on my dad's birthday, who was Irish. He wasn't all Irish, but the part of, I guess, I don't really care what people are, but he just happened to have been Irish, and I like when I see the characteristics of the Irish come out when I think of him and I think of me, and I think of his dad, who was really full Irish with the accent and everything. Anyway, I wrote this little poem on his birthday last year. He's gone, 17 years, something like that. Happy Paddy's Day, Daddy. Richard Strike was his name. I named this little poem, which really has not much to do with Dad, but everything to do with me, The Brush Within the Brushes. My mind, no Picasso, just a voice scattered. Many only think of this existence, but we have quite a variety here, and I've come to know I'm only unique in my particular path, like a caterpillar on its way to its cocoon, is unique to that particular future butterfly and all of its experience during its short and glorious lifespan. Like pens found in our grip at afterlife experiences, sometimes even before death. Like those binds that hold us tight at our jugular until we're afraid to breathe and pass out waiting for opportunity for freedom. The truths become more obvious or not over time. With truth, with which truth is true? For who is up for grabs here? When the apocalypse and its ashes die down from blazing to darkness again, and the eyeballs are old but new and anew, and clearer visual sightseeing, orbs might perhaps appear within our mind frame and our cognizance of our facts at hand, and within us. The proper timing of the pendulum and when to duck. Oh, let's get through here at least. These brushes. And boom.
Beautifully done. As always, there's
the
so much heart.
The dog is scratching at the bit. She's scratching and scratching in the background here. And so part of me is fluttering like, read it faster because the dog, I don't know, she's not like heavy to go out, but she gets nervous.
You think the dog gets nervous, or is she subtly aggressive about your tempo? Is she, if I do this, she'll speeds up.
See?
See?
Who knows? You know, I stopped trying to figure out this little shih tzu poo thing. She's 12 and a half.
That's all right. She brings enough.
I'm the bee.
Can I make a really random book suggestion that I feel like you might really like, Mary? I just discovered it. Okay, so I'm pulling up the name of the author, but it's a book I listened to the audiobook, and it was on Audible, and it was called How to Be a Good Creature by Cy Montgomery, and it is
how do you spell
Cy? S-Y and then Montgomery.
S-Y. Yep.
And
Thank you very much. She
wrote the book is an autobiography of 9 different animals. So she's an animal anthropologist. So she followed emus out in the Australian outback, but then she talked about some of her dogs and a pig and all this. And it sounds like a really strange book, but it's so heartfelt and a really beautiful, beautiful piece.
I think every human should be required to read such a book, Mike.
It's really been changing how I see things. Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. I think
because then you take it from the animal to the human.
Yeah,
maybe.
True. How to be a good creature.
I don't know how these things grow. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. But anyway, I thought you. Anyway. I feel like you might enjoy it. I certainly did. And, yeah, there you go.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the venue. And
thank you.
And I'm sorry for my tardiness. Next week I'll know. I'll know Mary only does it wrong once.
Well, no, that. Well, that's good. I do it wrong all the time. But, no,
I try to learn. Hey. JT
told me to send you a message, and so I'm glad we did. But sorry about that whole daylight savings thing. As soon as this whole business is done, we'll be all right.
So lovely. Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Mary. And that was Mary calling from Arizona, rounding out our return engagement segment. So I want to say thank you to everybody who called in, who shared the time with us. Next week, we'll be back. It'll be the end of the month, which means there's no real significant announcements or anything. It's just straight poetry, good company, something we're really, really looking forward to. And then, of course, we'll be starting to kick off a whole new month coming up right after that.
And just a forewarning, we will take off Good Friday.
That's right. Good Friday, we will be taking off. And actually, JT, I think we have two more shows, don't we?
Yeah, a couple.
We do have two more shows in this month. So we'll have next. So two more.
Something like that.
Yeah, we have two more shows this month. Wow, that's five Fridays.
Oh, my God. What are we going to do?
If I had glasses, I'd go, good God. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, two more.
Two more Fridays. Okay. So at any rate, we will be back. We're looking forward to it. And, of course, the time won't be changing anytime soon. So just. But if you know some of the other poets who have not joined us or maybe kind of were chiming in a little bit late, let them know. Just remind them. And like Dennis asked you to, find somebody you want to bring. We love having new people. We love just being able to, have them kind of join our community. And maybe some of them will decide that they want to contribute as often as the rest of you do. We'd love to have them. But in the meantime, for myself, from JT, from Ursa, the studio dog, and from Novia, the studio cat, thank you. We love you guys. Have a great evening, a great week. And until next time, keep writing.